around, which is nice. It's the last day of the year, the last few hours of the year. I don't know whether you're excited or whether you're relieved. I don't know whether it's been a good year for you or a hard year. I'm going to get you to chat to the person next to you, and don't have to explain it at all, but tell the person next to you, score between 1 and 10 what the year was like for you. 1 being not that great at all and 10 being fantastic. If you want to explain, you can, but you've got like 10 seconds. Go, person next to you, score. Score the year. All right. We'll just go for brackets. Who had a score between 0 even and 3? That's pretty good. 2017, not so bad. Tick. Who had a score between 4 and 6? A few people scored between 4 and 6. A pretty average year around. Who had a score of 7 or 8? Most people. See, you just did that thing where you go, you ask me a score, I tick 7. Yeah. I know. I understand. You don't want to think too much last few hours of the year. Who had a score of 9 or 10? That's pretty fantastic. That's pretty good. Well, you might remember that last year, 2016, was actually a bit of a rough year. If lots of people have different stories of their own, but there was a particular video flying around the internet last year, which was quite hilarious, where it talked about this guy that had been in a coma for the whole of 2016, which is not really that hilarious, but the idea was that he woke up and his mate said, look, actually there's an unusual amount of people that have died this year, particularly an unusual amount of celebrities. Anyone see this video? No? Maybe it was just me. I live in my own little space in the internet world. At the end of the video, the guy goes, oh yeah, and by the way, we elected Donald Trump as President of the United States. And the guy fell back over and went straight back into a coma for the rest of 2017. But I do remember there was a bit of a theme at the end of last year that a lot of people thought that 2016 can just kind of go away. They were happy to be done with it. And this year, as different people have finished the year and people have sent their well wishes in 2017, I think it's been a bit of a mixed reaction, and I'm not quite sure what the big theme, overarching theme of this year might be, but a number of friends of mine on Facebook thought that 2017 was the year where we lost our sense of common sense, perhaps, in how we just related to each other in society. And that could perhaps bring in a lot of topics that you might think of that come to mind, that have particularly been in the media. But whatever it is for you, whether you've had a hard year or a good year, everyone has a story that kind of marks the year that has gone by. For some of us, it might have been, very sadly, the death of loved ones, or sickness or sadness in families and in friendships. Others might have lost jobs, moved places, and just been generally unhappy. Whereas for others of us, there might have been a chance at new relationships and even new life, particularly at St. Michael's. There's been a lot of new babies in the church this year, and so that's something to be celebrated by. And then others have had new jobs and even moved to new houses and been excited by that. Wherever you're at, you've all got a story of the year gone by. But looking ahead, all of us, bar maybe a few who don't really care too much for resolutions or occasional kind of milestones, if you like, but all of us look ahead with a general sense of positivity, or at least we'd like to, about living a better life, about being fitter, healthier, happier even. All of us, I think, are even keen to see, keen to have a bit of a clean slate or a fresh start. Whether that be in the job that they are in, they might kind of think, I'm not doing this the way that I would like to, or the way that my boss would like to, or the company's not working as well as it should, maybe we should just stop and start again. in a different way, whether it be in relationships where there's been bad habits that just need to be stopped and then rebooted and started again, or whether it be in our life as a Christian, in our relationship with Jesus. All of us appreciate a clean slate and a fresh start in life. And at this time of the year, it can't not come to mind, can it? We think to ourselves, right, the year has gone, the things that you just want to not do that have made life hard, you really want to put aside and go ahead with all your own gusto and strength, don't we? To make things right, to make things better. But the question that the psalmist raises tonight, and the one big idea, the one big point, the one thing that I want us to think about as we finish this year, not too many big things, not too many complicated things tonight, just one big thing is, how much are you trusting in the Lord with your life? How much are you trusting in the Lord with your life? And have you actually decided to give your life over to Jesus and trust him, whether that be for the first time or having a chance at a time renewed? This psalm is quite an encouraging psalm that gets us to reflect on the greatness of God in who he is and what he has done for us in giving us life and in loving us and showing us great mercy that we don't deserve, but he is willing to pour onto us. And so when that first verse says, verse 1, in you, Lord my God, I put my trust, it makes you stop in your tracks, doesn't it? And say, well, do I trust in the Lord, my God? Do I trust in him with every aspect of my life? Do I trust in him with every decision that I make, every relationship that I have, and each thought and word and deed of each day that we are given by God's grace in our life? Let me read to you the first few verses, which helps kind of set this up for us. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. You see, the funny thing about New Year's resolutions or kind of new goals or new beginnings, the new year, the funny thing about this time is that we might put down some lists. We might kind of have them either written down or even in our mind, and we say, right, all these things are going to rely on what we can do to make them happen. We start to kind of self-reflect, maybe even in that confusing time between Christmas and New Year's where people don't know what day it is and they don't know what they should be doing and they don't know what night bin night is and all those kind of things. And we start to reflect. Oh, did I just drop out for a sec? No, back, good. We start to reflect and go, all right, these are the things that I can't do very well, that I need to improve. These are the things that I can do. These are the things that I'm going to do myself to help my life be better. I'll write the list and then I go for it. In all the strength and power that we have, we make decisions and we think, yep, I'm definitely going to do this. And then a couple of weeks, maybe into January or even perhaps by the end of the month, if we're lucky, we then do a little bit of reflection before the chaos of February happens and go, well, what have I achieved so far? And the answer is, not very much. You see, with all our best intentions, we often can talk up a big game, but we fail. We might not always fail in some of these things, but we do fail often. Psalm 25 really simply and powerfully points us to God and says, well, hang on, what is the most important thing that you can resolve to do each year and each and every day? What are the things that really matter, and in whose strength are you going to do them? When you ask yourself, what does it mean to trust the Lord? What does it mean to live for Jesus? What are the important things? What are the crunch factors? What are the things that we need to know in our hearts and our minds that are going to shape us every day? And the psalmist keeps pointing us towards God's love, great love and great mercy, and says, well, hang on, your life is not about you. It's not about all the things that you're going to achieve. It's not about the strength that you have or the merits that you gain. It is about God and worshipping Him and trusting Him and asking Him what we are to do in our lives. Following His paths, which are straight and true and right, rather than our own that lead us to darkness and sometimes destruction. It goes on, verse 4, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. You see, I think in Australia perhaps we have so much kind of good things around us and so much opportunity and so many resources at our fingertips, we think we've got life pretty much worked out. We've got ourselves to this point so far and, you know, relatively unscathed. And we think, okay, well, I've got a bit of a system for how I do life and I've got things that I've achieved in my own strength by myself. And so therefore, you know, I can just kind of keep employing this system when it comes to setting up our New Year's resolutions or goals for the year ahead. And so we lay them out, as we said before, like our lists, and we go for it. And then sometimes, I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes I might actually start to even believe the lie that I actually have some sort of ability or strength or, I guess, kind of confidence, if you like, and start to go down the path of believing that I can do it all, that I can do life by myself, that I have got life worked out. Because sometimes success in a certain area kind of breeds that false confidence in us, doesn't it? I'll give you an example. Sometimes for me, when one thing's going right, another thing can be going wrong. So if I think, okay, I'm going to get really fit and really healthy, and I start to spend a lot of time on thinking about what I'm going to eat and a lot of time allocated towards exercise, and then after a few weeks or maybe in a few months, I'm like, okay, I'm feeling fitter, I'm feeling healthier. And then you kind of go, oh, hang on, what's going on with my relationships with my family, my children, my wife, my friends? I haven't seen them as much as I'd like to. Oh, I feel like I'm at work a bit more, or maybe I'm at work the same amount, but I've been doing this exercise stuff which is making me feel really healthy, but hang on, what's going on with my relationships? You see, sometimes I feel like one part of my life might be going well, but usually at the expense of another. It's that lack of kind of big picture and holistic view that we sometimes have. Another example might be, I was talking to a mate about this the other day, who says that he's earning far more money than he's ever earned before in his work, and he's feeling quite successful and the business is doing well, but percentage-wise, he's given far less to others in need than he ever has in his life. And he was like, Andy, when I was at uni, I was giving far more away, and I had no money when I was at uni, compared to now, where he has plenty, but felt like he wasn't giving much to others because he felt like he needed it to get more success. Sometimes we just don't quite have that balance right, do we? And it's mostly because, again, we might not be trusting God with our whole life. We might not be actually following Him on His path. We might be just going down our own path, which is not the truth. It's not the truth about real life, and real life is given to us by God and God alone. And so we need to stop. We need to take stock. We need to actually ask God, okay, help me to trust you. We need to ask God to help us to be humble. We need to ask God to help us to get on our knees and ask for the very thing that He gives us for part of His very character, which is His mercy and His love for us. And how does He do this? Most excellently, He does this in Jesus. He does this by giving us the ultimate fresh start, the ultimate clean slate, the ultimate blank canvas in life, by offering us forgiveness of sins by Jesus, by His death on the cross, so that we may have life not just for now, not just for the rest of January, thinking that we're going to be living, you know, achieving good things, not just for the new year ahead, thinking that next year will be better than the year gone by, but for eternity. Eternity. Life for eternity. That's what forgiveness of sins equals. And when we start to kind of get that idea in our head and in our hearts, and when we start trusting in Jesus fully with all of our life, then we start to get aligned with him in a way that is far, far better than any of our ways, any of our paths that we have created and chosen in our lives. Verse 7, Psalmist says, "Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. For you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from their snare." Do you see that it is him that does everything for us? The gospel is powerful, isn't it? The gospel changes lives. The gospel of Jesus, him living the perfect sinless life, dying the sin-soaked death on the cross for us, because of love, because of mercy towards us, so we can have relationship with him, it is powerful. But it's not meant to be a negative motivator. And so sometimes we, even at this point when we hear the gospel in our lives and we're reminded of again, and we need to be reminded of again, whether you've been a Christian for 5 minutes, 5 years or 50 years, sometimes we still get sucked into the trap of thinking that it's a bit of a kind of negative motivator. I'll explain what I mean. Sometimes we hear what God says that we are meant to do in our lives and we go, okay, we know what we're meant to do. I'll run off with the knowledge that I have and do it the way what God wants me to do, but I'll do it in my own strength anyway. And then when we fail, we come back to God and we know that we failed and we ask for God to help us again, and he helps align us right with him again, gives us the equipment, if you like, to go and continue to live life, and then we run off and do it again. I feel like that's a bit of a negative motivation. Here, I think God is trying to say, no, look at me. Look at me and follow me. Come with me. Be positively motivated by the gospel. I'll give you an example. Thinking about this resolution idea, thinking about being kind of fitter, faster and stronger, if you like, in your life, and healthier. Sometimes we think, if only I can just take what I know about Jesus and then run off and be fitter, faster, healthier and stronger for him, then everything will be all right. It's the wrong mentality. The right mentality is that Jesus is the fittest, the fastest, the healthiest and the strongest. And so therefore, us in our weakness just need to be with him and in him and go with him and trust that he is the fittest, fastest, healthiest, strongest. He is our Saviour, and in him, with him, is where our life is meant to be. Do you see the slight difference there? It all goes back towards him. It all aligns ourselves towards him. And so as you think about the year ahead, don't be thinking, what do I need to improve these certain things that I can do by myself? They're good intentions, I get it. But it's the wrong kind of focus. Be thinking to ourselves, all right, how do I need to express my trust in God more deeply? How do I need to rely on him? How do I need to worship him? How can I hand my life over to him? Knowing that you're not perfect, knowing that some of your plans will fail, knowing that God has given you good gifts to do good things, but for his purposes and not your own. And so each day, how will you trust him? For some of us here, you might have, as I said before, had a really hard year. And you might just be continually beating yourself up for whatever reason, whether it's that you think that you're just not worth it as a person, or whether you think that you're just not living a good Christian life, or whether you found it hard just being a Christian because other people have pounded you for being a Christian. That might be the case for many of us this year. It has been tough, and the wounds might be raw. The psalmist here says, well, come back to me for refuge. Come to me and be in my mercy and be in my strength. If you're feeling lonely and afflicted, as it talks about in verse 16, then come to me. He continues, turn to me and be gracious, verse 16, to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. See how numerous are my enemies and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. Deliver Israel, O God, from all their troubles. And isn't that the prayer that we need to have for us? Asking God to help us when we are lonely and afflicted, to relieve us from our troubles and anguish, to help us when we are in distress and when we feel we have enemies, when we need to be guarded and we need to be rescued. Rescued from pain around us, rescued from sin inside of us. Wherever you are at, we all need to be rescued. We all need to trust Jesus because of his mercy and love for us. And so practically, how might that look for you? Whether it be, as I said, for the first time that you say, right, no more rejecting Jesus, no more trying to do life by myself, my own strength. I need to trust him from this day forward. Any day is a good day to start. New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, it might be a good way to finish the year off in one way and start the new year very rightly in another. Or whether it might be that you've been a Christian for a long time, but you've been struggling and you've just been ignoring the fact that you're struggling and just been maintaining, if you like. How are you going to come back to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, please refresh me by your strength and not my own. Please help me to keep going with you in the Christian life. These are some of the questions that you might need to ask yourself. And even more practically, you might need to say, okay, well, how do I just be at church more regularly this year? How do I join a growth group where we actually kind of talk about the Bible and talk about the Christian life and seek to grow as Christians together? Or how might even I serve others so that I'm not serving myself? These are some of the things that you can ask yourself and that you can put into place for the year ahead. And these are some of the things that will help you to align yourself with Jesus and trust in him all the more this year. So that's my encouragement and the psalmist's instruction. One big idea: come to him, trust in him for eternity. Amen.